Stockhouse recently had the pleasure of visiting the city of Kelowna in the beautiful BC Okanagan and checking in with Doja Cannabis Company. Doja is now known as Haiku Brands, trading on the CSE under the symbol HIKU. On January 30th, 2018, Doja Cannabis announced the successful completion of the merger with Tokyo Smoke, creating Haiku Brands Company Limited, Canada's first premium cannabis brand house with vertically integrated operations. In the interview with Justin Meeklem of Stockhouse, Trent Kitch, president of Haiku and CEO of the former Doja entity, provides some insight into the opportunities on the horizon for the exploding cannabis industry and how the company is differentiating itself as the only Canadian craft cannabis producer with a significant national retail footprint and a growing portfolio of premium cannabis lifestyle brands, including Doja, Tokyo Smoke, and Vanderpop. Some highlights of Haiku include a portfolio of iconic cannabis brands and retail dispensing stores across Canada, handcrafted cannabis and licensed ACMPR production of over 5,000 kilograms a year expected by end of 2018. Secured groundbreaking supply agreements with the likes of Aphria and WeedMD, and a strong financial position with a recent strategic financing of $12.5 million. With a robust pipeline of growth opportunities and a management team that has depth of expertise and a proven track record of building and scaling businesses, Haiku will look to make strategic investments and acquisitions to grow its brand portfolio, retail footprint, and scale production capacity. Enjoy the podcast interview now and look forward to our video tour of the Doja production facility coming soon to Stockhouse.
Hi, Trent. Thank you so much for hosting us downtown sunny Kelowna today in your gorgeous Culture Cafe.
Thank you. It's so nice to have you here and your Stockhouse investors.
No, absolutely. Our pleasure today. How did Doja end up here in Kelowna?
Doja was born in Kelowna out of our roots in the Okanagan. I'm born and raised. And after we were fortunate enough to sell Saks underwear, my wife and I moved back to the Okanagan in 2010. And then the dream and vision for Doja was founded in 2012.
Interesting. It's not a big city. How's it been operating a business here in a town this size?
It's a smaller city, definitely, but at the same time, it has a lot of the access and interesting things that a big city provides. I think Kelowna definitely has a huge culture with cannabis, and also with regards to the high-end Appalachian and the wineries and the tourism. So Kelowna, although it's not a Vancouver, Montreal, does have different and unique benefits that are part of the Doja story.
How has the community been to work with?
Kelowna is a great community to work with, West Kelowna as well. We're very much embraced by the locals. I think there's a lot of family history here that I enjoy. You know, my family's been here for four generations. And as well, I think the, again, high-end Appalachian and the tourism are things that, you know, make Doja very unique and is a competitive advantage for our brand.
Yeah. And speaking of your brand, 2017 was a big year for the industry overall. Doja had a big year. Mm-hmm. What do you view your personal corporate highlights of 2017?
So yeah, the 2017 was a blessing for Doja. We got our license to cultivate. We had hoped to get our license to sell in 2017, but that'll come early in 2018. As well, every day near to adult use, recreational cannabis is a milestone for Doja. As well, we've added some really incredible people to our team. We've raised approximately 30-some million in 2017. We have a very strong balance sheet. And again, with the position of many other players on the field, I think we've further differentiated ourselves with our adult use, lifestyle, recreational strategy. And we're really excited for 2018. I think it's going to be even better.
Yeah. How do you see, if everything goes as planned, you mentioned the recreational political plans. How do you see 2018 unfolding?
I think 2018 is going to maybe happen slower than some people expect, but with any big changes come those delays. But I also feel like 2018 is going to open the door to so many new opportunities for Doja, be it packaging, be it products, be it genetics. And also, we're just continually adding great people to our team. We're attracting some really incredible people, as well as having the bullets in the gun to execute our strategy.
In your planning, do you look outside Canada? Do you look globally?
Yeah, always. Definitely. We're paying attention to global developments and also with regards to where it's federally embraced. We have a lot of connections through our previous businesses in the fashion and apparel trade, as well as through the spirits and alcohol trade. And we also get a lot of cold calls and people interested in the Doja brand or other brands now under the Haiku brand house. So I think you'll see moves for us internationally, definitely. And I think that the brand itself has got a lot of potential in many more markets.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about global brands. Mm-hmm. Do you expect there to be interest or obviously more heightened interest in getting involved in the cannabis?
Yeah, definitely. I think that you're going to see a lot of new entrants come into the space this year, specifically, large pharmaceutical. I think you're going to see the InBevs and the Heinekens of the world enter the space. I think you're also going to see definitely consumer brand companies enter the space. So I think it's just a matter of time between consolidation within the industry is going to happen, as well as entrants consolidating the industry is going to happen. And it's definitely going to happen in 2018. And I think it's going to happen July 2nd or the day after legalization.
Mm-hmm. And for with the consolidation and the partnerships, you recently just announced a partnership or an investment from Aphria.
Yeah, very exciting to have the co-sign of Aphria on the Haiku vision as well. It brings a lot of intellectual property and companionship, advice on how to grow in a future greenhouse environment. I think having one of the biggest and best marijuana companies in the world investing in our story is something investors can feel confident on. And then also you're going to see, I think, more of those type of strategic investments happening. And we're definitely open for business.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Does it matter the political, the U.S., how affected mm-hmm. are you? Do you have different sets of plans depending on how the federal...
We've always said, it's not a matter of if... when. And I think for investors, the smart money continues to be in markets where it is federally legal or where it's accepted federally. And we still have a lot of value to create in Canada as well as other federally legal jurisdictions. So I don't anticipate you'll see Doja in, a big way in America in the next 6 months, let's say. But I definitely think the long term, we will be part of the market when it's federally legal to do so.
And right now, we are still seeing a lot of new projects. We're seeing new listings. Mm-hmm. What sets Doja apart? What makes you unique?
Well, so many things, really. It's a million things. But if we wanted to speak about the team, I think first, how good is your strategy? But then secondly, how good is your team? I think we've got a great strategy. And then I think we have the youngest, hungriest, most authentic team in the industry. People who didn't come from mining or from tech and are here to make a buck. I think we're definitely here because we're business people and we've got a track record building brands with Saks and the other people in our team who have built their own independent brands. But, I think, again, we're hungry, we're authentic, we're from the culture. So I would argue as well, if you put 10 different cannabis strains in front of many CEOs, they couldn't tell you which one's better, worse, or why. And then also, I think being raised in the culture as well, it's Swiss chocolates, it's British Columbia cannabis, the synonymous and highest end association with the best cannabis in the world is British Columbian. So we're very blessed to be British Columbians, and that's through the culture. But also Doja is different in the way that we cultivate cannabis. We're not an assembly line cannabis company. We definitely have people who know how to grow cannabis, but also in the way we cure the cannabis and the way we hand trim the cannabis. We're not trying to rush out cannabis through the door. We're trying to create the best products we can. And then you're going to see that as well in vape pens, edibles, any extension of our brand. If it's hard goods, soft goods, everything's on brand and it's premium and we really care about the customer.
And the handcrafted. That's the premium approach. But I've always mm-hmm. wondered, because it is in all your branding, very consistent. Like, what does handcrafted mean?
So as a contrast, many other licensed producers will either use high heat or even chemicals or machines to trim. And what you would see in a Doja facility is experienced people hand trimming it, cultivating it, and shaping it into the beautiful flowers that we're making. We aren't taking a beautiful flower and then throwing it in a machine and destroying it or making it less appealing. What we're really doing is treating it like the diamond that it is and making it really bouquet out into all of its you know, factors, characteristics, flavors, densities, aromas, appearance. So all those things are just a few things that matter to us, but across the board, our whole team cares about it.
Yeah, that's great. You're part of a fraternity of public companies in the cannabis sector. Are there other operators that you admire, like specifically for how they're running their businesses?
Yeah, for sure. Specifically Tokyo Smoke, before we bought them and merged with them. So we've always had a really high regard and respect for Alan and his team and what Tokyo Smoke was doing for the last number of years. We also definitely have an Appalachian respect for our British Columbia peers. I think what Whistler's done with their organic cannabis is admirable. And then also basically the signals that we see from the market, the larger market cap companies, we definitely pay attention to those moves. And you'll see Doja making similar moves, I think. But what makes us different in that we've done it in a much shorter time. Many of these companies have had 2 or 3 years head starts on Doja. So we've been able to achieve many milestones quicker than many of our peers and for much less investment. So I think what you're seeing from Doja is a consistent management team that's hitting milestones and also has been on budget and has attracted a lot of capital. So we're definitely efficient users of capital and we're excited to execute on our strategy this year.
Yeah. Speaking of capital, do you have any plans to raise money? 22.
We just closed the private placement investment from Aphria, so we just raised approximately $12.5 million more dollars. There was the convertible debenture financing that we completed this year. There's approximately $35 million in the treasury today with warrants and things as well that we can force at these prices. So you're definitely in a company that's well capitalized, has a strong balance sheet, but yes, dependent on market conditions and need for funds, we have the Future Lab, which we're excited and building out. So that's some resource as well. We have big plans for private use stores and hopefully we'll be getting some of those licenses. So you'll see us investing those dollars wisely and smartly in 2018.
Yeah, and you mentioned the 2-year timeframe that you're making up. 2 years head start. In 2 years, what do you expect your operation to look like?
I think that you're going to see a business with tens and tens of millions of dollars of revenue, if not $100 million plus dollars in revenue. I think you're going to see the best online experience relative to our peers. I think you're going to see a culture and some big ideas with regards to what I think the future of cannabis tourism is. And, you know, very well suited for the environments that we're already in. And then I think you're going to see a lot more international markets opening up. I always say stigma is going down, access to products going up, information is going up. And I believe the estimates for adult use are underestimated. And I also think that the whole market is underestimated.
With your recent Haiku partnership, what do you expect your Canadian retail footprint to look like in 2 years?
I think it will be in jurisdictions where provinces don't control cannabis retail sales. We will be 100% present in all of those markets. As well, I think you'll see us really establishing ourselves with online same-day delivery in the markets that we service with easy mobile phone apps. And also, I think you're going to see us further differentiate ourselves from our peers with the store environment itself, and that we really do care about how the customer is going to spend his hour or her hour in our stores, or if it's a new customer, maybe more, if it's an existing customer, express lines, things that we pay attention to that I see in my travels around the world and emulating the best of the best.
Mm. In the past 2 months, stockhouse.com, we've seen our site traffic nearly double. And we've seen the percentage of investors interacting with cannabis stocks increase also nearly double.
why do you think there's been this recent huge rush, November, December 2017, into this sector?
I think because the period at which legalization is coming is shortening, so there's definitely people that can see it on the horizon quicker. I think that there was a lot of conversations around the Christmas table that I made this much money in this stock, and the FOMO, the fear of missing out, is happening to people. I think that the whole industry has so much potential, and it's really difficult to say what's a company worth or what's it going to generate. When are we talking Canadian sales? Are we talking international sales? So those two things, I think, are a big part of what are making these values go up. And I think at the end of the day that the industry is very real. It's not something that needs to be created. It's something that is already so big but needs to be pushed onto white balance sheets. So I think that that's a big part of how the industry supports these valuations. And at the end of the day, you're going to see 10 to 12 brands that are going to have 80% of the share. So if you pick those brands and you're successful, you're going to have very good returns.
Yeah. And from an investor perspective, what do you think is the least understood part of the industry?
I think the supply-demand discussion is definitely a misnomer sometimes. And I think there's definitely not enough supply to go around. I agree with that. But it's short-sighted in that if you don't look at the percentage of that product that's going to be high-quality cannabis or that's going to be low-cost, low-quality cannabis. So our premium brand is always going to have the best quality cannabis that we can make. And I think that further differentiates Doja in that our focus is high-quality and great products. And there's a lot of people that are making lower-quality cannabis to make that supply-demand gap argument true. But I think it's even bigger than that for quality cannabis, which Doja makes.
Outside of Doja, do you personally invest in cannabis?
Yes. Are you invested? Yeah, definitely. I've been involved in the space since 2012 and 2013, and my portfolio is very heavily weighted on Doja, of course, but I also own Aphria, Emerald Health, Supreme, and in the past have owned many other names, but that's who I own today.
Yeah. And my last question, just if you're going to give a retail investor that whose brother was bragging at the Christmas table, how would you, somebody, a new entrant into the cannabis space, what recommendations for what they should look at?
I always recommend people diversify their strategy somewhat. So if you believe first in the management team, that's what I would say, you know, bet on the best people that you can. And then second to that, you know, spread out your risk in the sense of the cannabis space. There's people who are proven producers, let's just say in my portfolio, if it's Aphria, who has quarter over quarter produced millions of dollars of you know, real profit. So that's someone that's performed and has a license and is very mature. Then you look at the corresponding investment in someone like Supreme, who's focused on wholesale, who, you know, has a unique strategy. And then you look at the investment in Doja, which is in a different category and, you know, definitely has a different business plan than Aphria, but is higher risk in the sense that we still don't have our sales license. But when we do achieve these milestones, which are reasonably predictable, those catalysts will create value marginally greater than the Aphria investment. So you look at a company like Doja, how much more likely is it to go to $5 or $6 and double from where it is today versus an Aphria who, you know, isn't likely as quickly to double? So there's some of these rules of thumb that I look at, but I also believe mostly in management teams.
Yeah, excellent. So we're on our way to go see your facility. Mm-hmm. Any parting words?
Just that Doja, again, is a premium cannabis company that is uniquely positioned to take advantage of the adult rec use market, and that we're proven brand builders who appreciate the customer and are from the culture and know what good cannabis is and is going to make great cannabis.
Yeah, fantastic. One other question that I might ask is, how much of your business is medical versus the upcoming rec
recreation. We didn't talk at all about these.
Yeah, so our business is definitely a medicinal cannabis license, and we respect the laws and rules of that for sure. And we are excited to see the federal government introduce the Cannabis Act and allow licensed producers to start selling recreationally. But we still have a long list of medicinal patients who have pre-registered with us. And as well, in the long term, there's going to be some unique benefits to being a medicinal patient. One being you can write off your cannabis against your personal income as a medicinal expense. And as well, the direct to the consumer online. There's many people we know who probably will never go into an adult use recreational dispensary for privacy reasons or other reasons. So we conveniently ship direct to their door. So we're excited to continue to be a medicinal company and have those channels available to us, but also take advantage of the new doors that open for us.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you so much.